live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is June 1st, 2020, and I thank you all for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. It's a tough one today. Can't lie to you guys. I know that I began our late edition shows during the back end of the week. Last week the same way, but things progressively got worse over the weekend, as you already know, when it comes to the national protest in various cities in our great nation centered on the death of George Floyd. Protest everywhere. There was even one here in the Lansing area yesterday, and they are continuing today in other places like Chicago, New York, various cities in California, Florida. Our nation is up in arms. And my fellow black Americans are upset, hurt, confused. And I don't think I've ever, don't get me wrong, I certainly was angry, upset, confused during the deaths of Michael Brown and Philando Castile and Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland. But I don't know. There's something about this death, this killing of George Floyd, an African-American male at the hands of white police officers. There's something about this situation in that video that has produced a feeling within our black community of this is it. We're tired of this. This is where we are drawing the line in the sand. And to see the images of protest across our nation, so many emotions come to mind. So many. And I'm going to open up and really be vulnerable with you guys later on in this hour as I talk about these protests across America. I'm going to dive into the reaction that has been the sports community to these protests and the death of George Floyd. And I'm also going to give you my thoughts on a really, I think, really well done piece by Sports Illustrated's Michael Rosenberg, who put together a column entitled, "What Do You Think of Colin Kaepernick Now?" It was published this morning, and it is getting a lot of conversation just in these last few hours because it brings up some very good points. Basically touching on if Colin Kaepernick was to kneel right now after this situation, seeing that video of George Floyd saying numerous times that he can't breathe, and seeing the reaction that this has caused within the black community here in these United States of America, what if Colin Kaepernick was to kneel now? Would the reaction be different? So I'm going to comb through that piece, and you'll also get my thoughts on that. And then, of course, on the back end of the show, we'll have weekend winners for you guys as we begin a new month here in 2020. Hopefully it's a lot, and I do mean a lot better than what we saw in May. So numerous ways in which you can join the hour. This is going to be a different show. Already off rip, in that small preview I gave you guys, you know it's going to be a different show, and it's going to spark up, I'm sure, a variety of opinions. I told you guys when I step behind this mic, I have a responsibility, and I will not just stick to sports. When it comes to topics like these, I will not just stick to sports. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. You know where that radio dial is. You know where that X button is on your web browser. But if you would like to join the discussion and have dialogue on this, you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can text. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media, facebook.com/WKAR News. That is where you can leave comments. You can also tweet us, tweet me directly at @AlMartinWKAR, or tweet the show @WKAR News. Let's push along, though, here. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this June 1st. All right, let's start here. Again, George Floyd was a 46-year-old African-American male. He died on last week Monday, in Minneapolis after being handcuffed and pinned to the ground by a white police officer's knee in an incident that was recorded on video and went viral. The former officer, Derek Chauvin, he has now been charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter on Friday. And the fatal arrest has incited protests in cities across America, including my hometown of Detroit, throughout the week. I want to let you guys know that the two biggest voices now at Michigan State University have decided to weigh in and issue statements on what is taking place in our nation. Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, and Mel Tucker, head coach of the Michigan State football program, they have both issued statements. Izzo has been an outspoken opponent of racial injustice for years. The legendary hoop coach issued a strong statement on Saturday afternoon after the death of Floyd and the ongoing protests and riots around the country. This is what Izzo said in a statement release through the program's Twitter account. Quote, "The last few days have been among my most difficult as a coach. The conversations I've had with players and staff, both current and former, have been raw and emotional. I've done a lot of listening and heard a lot of pain in their stories. It's been a struggle for me to find the right words to say. I don't have all the answers, far from it. But one thing that's certain is that I can't stay silent. As a white American basketball coach who has been trusted and accepted into African American homes across the country, the racism and injustice I've witnessed has sickened my soul. God bless George Floyd, his family, and every American who has been a victim of social injustice around our country. Taking on racial inequality is really nothing new for Tom Izzo. If you remember before the 2017-18 season with Colin Kaepernick starting protest and discussion, the Spartans started wearing black warm-up shirts. Remember that? The We Talk, We Listen shirts on the front as a way to openly talk about social injustice and divisiveness in America, which Izzo said he was, quote, sick of. He felt it was important to have a unified approach to showing support for each other and those pushing for understanding. When it comes to Mel Tucker, who is an African-American, he expressed his thoughts on Floyd's death as well, which he called, quote, horrific and heartbreaking in a statement posted on his personal Twitter account on Friday night. Tucker, in the statement, went on to say, quote, "As a football coach, I am acutely aware that my words can be taken out of context or distorted. I err on the side of caution, always mindful not to alienate one side of the fan base or the other. However, we live in uncertain and polarizing times that demand leadership and voices of hope. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., never, never be afraid to do what's right, especially if the well-being of a person or animal is at stake. Society's punishments are small compared to the wounds we inflict on our soul when we look the other way." Tucker went on to say in that statement, quote, "It's been almost impossible for me to articulate my feelings about what happened to George Floyd. The echo of his cry for his mother and the knee on his neck will forever be burned into our collective hearts. No matter what your race is, where you pray, who you choose to live your life with, or where you cast your vote, what we all witnessed again was horrific and heartbreaking to watch. But we must not turn away." Strong and powerful words from really the two public faces now, public voices of Michigan State University, Tom Izzo of Michigan State men's basketball and Mel Tucker of Michigan State football. More on that topic and the protests in America in just a moment. I want to let you guys know that the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame ceremony, which was scheduled to take place on July 30th, has now been postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic. The class scheduled to get inducted this year will now be enshrined next year in 2021. That's according to Bob Every, who is the executive director of the Hall of Fame. This is what Every had to say, quote, "Due to everything that's going on around us with the coronavirus and everything else and all the buildings being shut down and no real guarantee of when they are going to open up and having to keep everybody on the string, we thought it would just be best to cancel for 2020. That class will now move to 2021, and we will not select another class this particular year. So the latest class set to join the hall will have that induction ceremony postponed until 2021, and the hall is very prestigious, and it really puts in perspective just how many great athletes have come out of the Lansing area. I mean, names like Magic Johnson, John Smoltz, Todd Martin, Jordan Weber, among those that have actually taken their place in the greater Lansing area Sports Hall of Fame each year since 1976. So quite the tradition there. All right, want to let you guys know again, back to the George Floyd protest across this nation. Michael Jeffrey Jordan, arguably the greatest basketball player to ever play, he is now the owner of the Charlotte Hornets and, of course, a legend, Chicago Bulls legend. He joined the chorus of athletes, coaches, and executives expressing their grief and outrage over the death of George Floyd. This is what Jordan had to say in a statement yesterday. Quote, "I am deeply saddened, truly pained, and plain angry. I stand with those who are calling out the ingrained racism and violence toward people of color in our country. We have had enough. I don't have the answers, but our collective voices show strength and the inability to be divided by others. We must listen to each other, show compassion and empathy, and never turn our backs on senseless brutality. We need to continue peaceful expressions against injustice and demand accountability. Our unified voice needs to put pressure on our leaders to change our laws, or else we need to use our vote to create systematic change. Each one of us needs to be a part of that solution, and we must work together to ensure justice for all." Again, that's Michael Jordan issuing a statement on Sunday concerning the death of George Floyd and the protest thereafter. Jordan was joined Sunday by the L.A. Clippers' own Doc Rivers and the Phoenix Suns' Monte Williams, two black coaches who stressed the urgent need for immediate change. All right, to less important matters, Michigan State women's basketball coach Susie Merchant and the Michigan State women's basketball program have landed another player via transfer from a Big Ten school. This time, former Ohio State guard Janae Crooms was announced as the latest addition for the Spartans on Friday afternoon. The 5'10" Crooms averaged 6.8 points and had 107 assists last season as a sophomore for the Buckeyes. She made 10 starts while appearing in 32 games. Crooms, who is a native of Cranston, Rhode Island, regarded a four-star prospect out of high school, started 29 of the 61 games she appeared in during her two seasons at Ohio State. So a very productive player there. Crooms is the fourth player to transfer into the Michigan State University women's basketball program this offseason. The Spartans added former Penn State's Alicia Smith and Jayla James and ex-Hawaii center Lauren Ruers to the roster last month. So Susie Merchant being very productive during this time and landing players from different schools, specifically within the Big Ten Conference. So we'll see how that pays off for Merchant come next season. All right, in a video published by TMZ Sports, former Cleveland Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith is shown beating up a man he alleges damaged his car while in a residential area. The incident reportedly occurred in Los Angeles during the protest over the death of George Floyd. Now, in the video, the man Smith alleges broke his car window is seen lying on the ground while Smith kicks and hits him. After people who appear to be Smith's friends intervene, the man gets up and flees. Now, Smith later posted a video in which he explained the incident. Quote, "One of these bleeping white boys didn't know where he was going and broke my bleeping window in my truck. I chased him down and whooped his bleep." That's what Smith said. He went on to say in the video, quote, "This ain't no hate crime. I ain't got no problem with nobody that ain't got no problem with me. It's a problem with the system. That's it." So that was pretty random there. But again, J.R. Smith beating up a man on video. So, again, you can check that out at TMZ Sports if you care. Okay, the MLB Players Association submitted its proposal to the league on Sunday, according to Jeff Passan. Now, in its plan, the union proposes a 114-game season that would commence on June 30th and end on October 31st. So from June 30th, the end of this month, to October 31st. That's per Passan. Players want 3 weeks to train, allow time for travel domestically and internationally, and for coronavirus testing. It also requests that all players have the option to opt out if they don't want to play. Now, players considered high risk that opt out of playing would receive their salaries, while players opting out would just receive service time. So that is the new MLB Players Association proposal, proposing a 114-game season that would start on June 30th and end on October 31st. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. Also, UFC was in action over the weekend, and after over a year away from the cage following the loss of his title to Kamaru Usman in a one-sided beatdown, Tyrone Woodley hoped to return and prove to the haters and doubters that he was still the best welterweight in the UFC. But unfortunately for him, things didn't quite play out like that. He wasn't completely handled by Gilbert Burns like he was by Kamaru Usman, but Burns still blanked him on all three scorecards across five rounds, with two judges awarding Burns a 10-8 round in the mix, 50-45, 50-44, and 50-44 scores didn't keep Woodley from taking the time to address his fans and anti-fans on his Instagram following the fight. This is what Woodley had to say. Quote, "Like I said, you can't just get on the camera when you win. You got to get on the camera when you lose too. It felt good. I have no excuses. I felt good. I trained hard. I was in great shape. I felt like I did everything right." And Woodley also had to get some stitches above, I believe, his left eye, and he shared that on his Instagram page as well. So, Tyrone Woodley, he loses yet again. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, today is going to be a different show, a bit of a heavy show, as you'll be getting my thoughts on the George Floyd protest across America. I'm also going to give you my thoughts on a really well-done piece by Michael Rosenberg of Sports Illustrated addressing what if Colin Kaepernick was to kneel now after the nationwide outrage of the killing of George Floyd? Would it make you view Cap differently? Would he still be employed in the National Football League? I'm going to give you my thoughts on that and more. Let's hit our first break. You are listening to the Monday, June 1st edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, this is going to be a different show. Heck, if you listen to Thursday and Friday's show from last week, you already know that it has been a different vibe here on WKAR's Current Sports. And those who have listened to the show a long time, you guys know that I do not shy away from topics like that of the killing of George Floyd. I don't just stick to sports here on WKAR's Current Sports. We have never done that and never will. If you don't like it, you can simply turn it off. Tune back in at 1 p.m. Excuse me, at 2 p.m. And looking at how this story has impacted so many, and yes, that includes the sports community. I mean, heck, in segment A, as we rolled along into our current sports quick hit headliners, you heard what Tom Izzo and Mel Tucker had to say concerning what is taking place in our nation after that video went viral of 46-year-old George Floyd pleading with a police officer by the name of Derek Chauvin, who has been charged, thank goodness, has been charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter on Friday. But that video of Chauvin with his knee on the neck of Floyd as Floyd is saying, "Please, I can't breathe," as Floyd is calling out for his mother. That's the video that has now become the ignition to the flame that is black anger in America. What did you expect was going to happen when that video came out to the public? We are tired and fed up in the black community. We are angry in the black community because these incidences continue to happen on the regular, multiple times a year. And I'm sure for my listeners out there who aren't African American, but no coworkers who are black, who have friends that are black, I'm sure that you have seen something on their respective social media pages or had a conversation with them via phone, via text, via some kind of messenger. And I'm sure they are angry. They are hurt. They are confused. As I said it at the top of the hour, I have always talked about topics like this here on WKAR's Current Sports, but there's something different about this moment. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something different about it. When seeing it, I mean, the fact that I don't know, maybe it's the fact that George Floyd didn't die by a gun. The fact that it was a knee to his neck. And this police officer just casually sitting there like, you know, nothing's happening. Like, yeah, I got my foot on your neck. Yeah, I'm slowly killing you. I don't care. That optic just really ignites something in me. Ignites a feeling of anger that I've never felt before. A feeling of sadness that I've never felt before. And it's been hard for me trying to deal with those feelings. And I've had some great friends and colleagues of mine reach out, and I really appreciate that. You know, just checking on me. You know, I had my former engineer, Isaac Constance, who reached out to me last week. You know, our dear friend of the show, Jason Ruff, sent me a really nice message. And I appreciate that, without a doubt. But the other conversations I've been having with my family and and fellow African-American brothers out there, is how do we step toward change? Because look, I love the protest, because protest like this bring attention to the injustice, bring a spotlight to the injustice. Protests don't allow you to just say, oh man, that's really unfortunate that George Floyd is now gone. Let's get back to some other news topics. They don't allow you to just turn the page. Now, I need to address this, because there have been countless images of looting, and that's not the way to go about things. Looting, I don't know what do you solve by looting during these protests? And look, this is a layered conversation. When it comes to that, my black people are just angry right now, and they're looking for any kind of way to express that anger. I've had conversations with my family members about this. You know, black people are looting because they see it as a way. Some see it as a way to stick it to the right, the white race, to go after these big time businesses that are owned by Caucasian males. That's why. Looking for a way to express that. Now, I can't say that for everybody that loots. I mean, some are just looking for a free TV, I guess, you know, but that's, that doesn't solve anything. And look, there's another layer to this as well. Really look at those images. A lot of that looting isn't being done by my black brothers and sisters. Some, yes. I've seen some images in Atlanta. But there are some who are of another demographic who have decided to join in and just make this thing ugly. But I will never be in support of that. There's a way to do it that is nonviolent and get your point across. But then I can't ignore this part. You know, what do you do to really get the attention of a nation? You got to make the nation uncomfortable. Look, I'm not saying you do that with violence, no. But protest were meant to get your attention, are meant to get your attention, to spark up some response that makes the people on the other side of the protest a bit uncomfortable, to get those wheels churning, to think about what is going on. They are meant to make you uncomfortable. And that brings me to this point as well. I also had the conversation, a very lengthy conversation, with a good friend of mine yesterday, centered on Colin Kaepernick. And this is exactly why Colin Kaepernick decided to take a kneel, decided to get on one knee during the national anthem when he was still employed by the National Football League. This is why Cap expressed himself the way he did. Because he knew that it would make you incredibly uncomfortable. And he knew that when he took that knee, it would spark up discussion and dialogue as to why, oh why, time after time, viral video after viral video, we have to witness black death at the hands of white police officers. This is the reason. You asking why he had to do it that way? Because that was his way of getting your attention. It is the definition of non-violence protesting. What would you rather want? Looting or a football player taking a knee during the national anthem? Both, of course, make you extremely uncomfortable. But one doesn't promote violence. Yet there are so many people. There are so many white Americans who looked at that and said, oh, you're disrespecting the flag. You're disrespecting our country. In fact, if you really look at the story, I mean, heck, the reason why Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee in instead of taking a sit down, sitting on the bench. That's how it started, if you remember. I mean, Colin Kaepernick actually sat down, and then a white veteran, somebody who had served our country, said, hey, Cap, man, I would feel more comfortable if you took a knee. That would be more respectful. And that's why Colin Kaepernick switched to kneeling instead of sitting down during the national anthem. But people don't want to talk about that side of the story, do they? But this is why. He did it to make you uncomfortable, to get you to think. Black people are tired, man. We are incredibly tired. And, you know, as I woke up this morning trying to think about how I wanted to address you all, trying to think about how I wanted to formulate my thoughts as to how I feel and how the black community feels right now here in America. The only video that came to mind, and I've watched it a million times since it went viral, but the words from our sister, Tamika D. Mallory, who has been fighting and standing up for social injustice in relation to the black community for over 20 years. I mean, Tamika D. Mallory has done so many things to try and progress our race. She was one of the leading organizers of the 2017 Women's March, for which she and her three other co-chairs were recognized in Time Magazine in the Time 100 that year. She is a prominent figure in our community. She is a proponent of gun control, feminism, and the Black Lives Matter movement. And she had one moving and powerful speech that puts in perspective how we feel as a black community in America today. Here is Tamika D. Mallory, and please, please, I urge you, especially those who aren't black listening to this show right now, I urge you to really, really hear what she's trying to say.
Black people are dying in a state of emergency. We cannot look at this as an isolated incident. The reason why buildings are burning are not just for our brother George Floyd. They're burning down because people here in Minnesota are saying to people in New York, to people in California, to people in Memphis, to people all across this nation, enough is enough. And we are not responsible for the mental illness that has been inflicted upon our people by the American government, institutions, and those people who are in positions of power. I don't give a damn if they burn down Target, because Target should be on the streets with us calling for the justice that our people deserve. Where was AutoZone at the time when Philando Castile was shot in a car, which is what they actually represent? Where were they? So if you are not coming to the people's defense, then don't challenge us when young people and other people who are frustrated and instigated by the people you pay. You are paying instigators to be among our people out there throwing rocks, breaking windows, and burning down buildings. And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged. And there's an easy way to stop it. Arrest the cops. Charge the cops. Charge all the cops. Not just some of them. Not just here in Minneapolis. Charge them in every city across America where our people are being murdered. Charge them everywhere. That's the bottom line. Charge the cops. Do your job. Do what you say this country is supposed to be about, the land of the free for all. It has not been free for black people, and we are tired. Don't talk to us about looting. Y'all are the looters. America has looted black people. America looted the Native Americans when they first came here. So looting is what you do. We learned it from you. We learned violence from you. We learned violence from you. The violence was what we learned from you. So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better.
With that, let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'll double back and talk about Colin Kaepernick for a second. And I'll bring up some really interesting points that Sports Illustrated's own Michael Rosenberg put out there in his column entitled, "What Do You Think of Colin Kaepernick Now?" We'll take you home on that topic. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have about, 7 minutes left here in the hour. So, I you know, today's a different show. Not much sports talk happening here. I just couldn't. One, there's not a lot of sports talk going on right now anyway, because we are still in the midst of a pandemic. And that's also the other part that scares me, too. I can't lie. You know, the fact that we are going through this pandemic is not like coronavirus just up and disappeared. I mean, cases are still happening on the daily. People are still dying on the daily in our world. It's just, this year has been so just wild. But, you know, my black brothers and sisters couldn't just sit around, even if there is a pandemic going on, and just react in a subtle way after seeing that video of George Floyd dying the way he did. But large crowds, not a lot of social distancing happening. That scares me a little bit. Will we see a spike in the number of coronavirus cases in those cities who are protesting? You know, I have seen people with masks, but, you know, that's also a scary thing. But I want to turn to Michael Rosenberg's piece in Sports Illustrated, "What Do You Think of Colin Kaepernick Now?" Goes on to read, quote, "It shouldn't have taken this, but a weekend of violence has forced a new perspective on his peaceful protest of 4 years ago." Can't believe that's been 4 years ago. "Now, imagine if he first knelt today after George Floyd's killing by a police officer, and try to imagine what happens next." And I just want to say this, and I've said a lot of it during segment B. I mentioned a lot of it during segment B. Colin Kaepernick deciding to kneel during the national anthem, and how many people received that. It wasn't most people. If you weren't black, you looked at that and said that, oh man, he's disrespecting the flag. This is not the way to go about it. But look here. I truly believe, you know, to answer Michael's question, in my opinion, that if Cap was to kneel right now, I don't think he would get the backlash that he received in the past. There is something different about that video and the response that has permeated our nation today that I believe would have caused mainstream white America to reconsider what Cap was and is trying to do. And I love how Michael brought up, you know, the way our nation reconsidered Muhammad Ali after he refused to go to Vietnam to fight in the war. The way our nation reconsidered Jackie Robinson and Jack Johnson. Because remember, when Ali said, I'm not fighting no Viet Cong, that got tremendous backlash. He was not viewed the way he's viewed now, as this hero standing up and saying, no, I'm not fighting anybody who has not wronged me. Over time, we look at that moment as a heroic moment. Most do, in regards to Ali. But at the time, no. Ali was rocking the boat. I do believe mainstream white America will get to that point, but it will be years down the road. But I just feel like if he would have done it now, that video, again, there's something different about it. It would have gotten a different response from many people out there. I'm not saying the majority, but many would have looked at that in mainstream white America. Many white Americans would have viewed Cap a little bit differently. Outrage. And Cap tried to warn us. You know? Cap, like many black Americans out there, we know this is not a new thing. And we're tired. We are drained. And we have to figure out some tangible ways to elicit change in our nation. But I encourage you guys, check out the Michael Rosenberg piece. And I love even these interesting points. Just to quote here as we close out the show, he's got some really interesting layers involved in this piece. Quote, the argument that Colin Kaepernick would hurt the NFL's bottom line was always a murky one. NFL teams by nature are risk averse, and they seem to assume the worst case scenario, a massive fan revolt, instead of the more likely one. A brief outrage from a small percentage of fans who would then mostly move on. They also discounted the boon to business from his supporters. If you remember, shortly after Kaepernick began to kneel, his jersey was the league's best seller. Now, well, some things have changed. America has changed. It has not changed in the ways Kaepernick wants it to change. I am not arguing it has changed for the better, but the climate in 2020 is different than it was in 2016 in ways that would significantly change the dynamics around signing Kaepernick. I believe that wholeheartedly. America has changed. The reaction to these killings show that. And now the debate is up. Is it changing for the better or the worse? And I think you know where I lean in that conversation. That will do it for this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Hope you have a great rest of your Monday afternoon. Be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.